Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Pink University Blog Talk Radio Program, where we reignite your passion, your purpose, and your play. Find us at www.hotpinkyou.com. Take it away, ladies.
Hello and welcome to Hot Pink University, and I'm Christy Bemis, your host today. I'm so excited to be talking about, really, I believe my life goals is to help women find their passions. And so today, that's what we're talking about. And if you look back on past episodes that I've had, there is one in particular, July of 2019, where I really talk about your passions and take you through a whole process around that. So today is number two, really, in a series as we round out our year and we're entering into the new year, whether you're listening to this in the new year or you're listening to this, after the new year, this episode is pertinent anyway, because it's all about talking about your desires and what are your passions. And I'm going to take it way back to what if you don't even know what your desires or passions are? And that is the case for many of us, is that we're living in autopilot, that we are not really connected to what our desires are. We don't even know how to find them. It's like, what possibly could be my desires? So what are my desires? Maybe I don't know. The truth is, you don't know what you don't know. And there can be many places that we can go to find, to discover our desires, to discover what we feel passionate about. And some of those places are great. They're amazing. They're inspiring. They are, great places that we can go to find our desires and our passions. But some of those places aren't so inspiring. They're slippery, and they're passing and fleeting, and they're not great places to go to unearth our desires. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit today too. And supporting our greatest good. I'll be sharing some of mine today and why those places in my life are inspiring, what I can get from those inspirations, and how to cultivate them on your own. And then, like I talked about, some of the places and spaces that we go to quote unquote, know our truest desires can actually feel good in the moment at the time, but they're actually based on false sense of what is success and a false sense of what is a good life and what is a good mom and what is a good daughter and what is a good wife and what makes us a person that's happy, right? And we'll talk about those too today as we unearth why we are influenced by them and why those particular places and spaces to cultivate our desires might not be the best for us. So wonderful to have you here. I'm Christy Bemis, author, speaker, psychotherapist, and Ignite Your Life coach. I'm also the co-founder and now solo owner of Hot Pink University, and launched this series of life classes on a variety of topics to hopefully ignite your life. And I invite you to find me on the web at www.hotpinkyou.com, or you can also follow me on the social media I'm most present on is Facebook with Hot Pink University with Christy Bemis, where you'll always find ways to be inspired, reignite your life with passion, with purpose, and with play. So let's dive in deep. Grab your journal, grab a pen, sit back and enjoy this particular episode where we uncover your passions in a step-by-step process. Let's everybody take a deep breath, really get into our bodies, and really gift yourself with this moment in time that we are spending. Life classes last about 30 minutes, and let's take this time with one another, and welcome. I want you to imagine, I carry these two pictures around with me, and I've had them since 2005 in my life. And there are two pictures from a morning that I was sitting on a cliffside in Costa Rica in around October of 2005, I want to say. I had traveled there with two of my cohorts, Lori and Ann. They were two of the co-founders of Hot Pink University, two of four, myself included, and then another woman. And I had traveled there in 2005, long before I was even thinking of starting a business in 2011. But in 2005, we were traveling there to scout out a retreat. And I have these two pictures, and I want you to imagine, you remember pictures that were taken actually on cameras and you had to take the film in, right? You know, the rolls that you took to Kmart and you filled out the little form in the envelope and you put the film in, or Shopko or some local film studio set up in like the local strip mall, right? That kind of camera. And these photos are of two things. The one thing in one of the photos is a picture of the lounge chair that I was sitting in. One of those long lounge chairs where you can really lay out, right? But I had been sitting in it. And the other was a photo of what I was looking at. It was a photo of the cliff I was overlooking on the coast of Costa Rica with this long drop down to the ocean and watching the waves crash against the rocks below. And that was what the picture is. They're a little grainy. You know, the quality is not quite there, right? But they're mine. They're my pictures I carry around, and it's what I was looking at. But here's the thing. I don't really need those photos to remember what I was seeing that day, because in my mind's eye, because it was such a transformational moment that I was having, or to feel what I felt in that transformational moment, I don't really need the photographs because I have it embedded in my mind. And you know your own transformational moments, those moments that are embedded in your mind's eye of this is big. Like this is maybe a divine download that I'm pulling in. This is like something big that's happening for me. And I need to listen. I need to hold this container, hold this in my body, right? And that's how big these moments are. So I want to set the stage a little bit. What was I doing in Costa Rica? Here I was 35. I had my newish baby girl. I had had her in 2003, and this was 2005. Most likely she was my last baby girl, and I was 35 and had been a mama focusing on her care, keeping her survival going, breastfeeding, clothing, feeding, keeping this one human being. And I had four other kids, one of my own, and then three stepchildren and a husband. And I was so focused on keeping everybody happy, healthy, and just sometimes even some days, and I'm sure a lot of you moms out there can relate, some days I was just keeping everybody alive is what it felt like. And this trip to Costa Rica was really to follow a dream, to do potentially my life's work with women and to scout a retreat for more women to come in the next year. And I was with, like I said, Ann and Lori, and they were my future business partners. I didn't know it at the time. And I felt my whole body as I was taking this time for myself, and it was kind of a big yes because financially it was a little bit of a stretch for me. But I was feeling my whole body kind of come online again. And can you imagine what that feeling is like, where you've maybe been on autopilot, numbed out a little bit from your dreams and desires and goals, and you're feeling your whole body kind of come online again, kind of buzzy, right? And it was a feeling that I was familiar with because I felt this way before in life, really turned on, really alive, really alert to the messages coming forward. Definitely not numbed out, but really like excited and like alive. And we had, we had business meetings in Anne's aunt's dining area, where we had like flip charts and sticky notes and all kinds of things, where we were just really alive together as women and really feeling passionate. So I felt my womanhood coming on board, coming aligned again, coming up for me. Pre-mama, pre-wife, and my truest sense of myself. And we, this morning, in overlooking this coastal drop-off, we were led by Lori in this morning movement and meditation class, overlooking this incredible drop-off into the ocean. It was just glorious. It was absolutely glorious. And I remember, like, pinching myself at various times, like, is this really my life? Like, is this really my life? And I'm co-creating this, right? I'm not a passive me saying yes, me buying the plane ticket, me coming and saying yes to this like incredible adventure that I was invited on. And so in my mind's eye, I saw myself during this meditation process walking down this long hallway. And I can see it as I'm explaining this. I can see this happening right in front of me like it was yesterday. And I was walking down this hallway, and the hallway was filled with doors on both sides. And these doors were closed. The hallway was dim. It was slightly dark, but I could see light behind the doors, you know, through the cracks. And they were all closed. But as this meditation went on, I could hear in my mind the doors clicking open, unlatching, opening. And I knew the doors were pretty representative of like opportunities to my own joy, happiness, and life's purpose. Doors I had closed off for myself. Others have closed off, me allowing it, by becoming a mom, a wife, and even by becoming a psychotherapist, knowing that who's watching me, all eyes on me, and the false sense of like, I have to uphold a certain like standard now as a psychotherapist. And I want you to think of what doors you may have closed, doors of opportunities, doors of dreams, doors of desires that you may have closed for yourself over the years as you took on different roles. Doors like maybe wanting to write a book. For me, they were doors of wanting to speak to groups of women, to take women on retreats. Doors are like dreams in our lives waiting to be unlocked. Ways of living on purpose, or even ways of living on fire. And that's why really the launching point when I started Hot Pink University in 2011, we started talking about living your life on fire, igniting your life. Like these were phrases that, again, in 2010 and 2011, when I met with this group of three other women, Lori, Diane, and Anna, myself, and starting this company, they were words and phrases that we had on more sticky notes, right? We had like flip charts, sticky notes, and they were phrases that we wanted for women. We wanted them for ourselves, and we wanted them for women. And I had closed those doors. I know why I closed them. I want you to think of why did I close these certain dreams, desires, and wants in my life? I had closed them because I really had bought into societal beliefs about what are norms and standards of who I was. Now that I held the label of wife and mother, now that I held that label, right, that what was a good wife? What was a good mother? And there was even some thought around, was I being a good mom? Here I was in Costa Rica. I had still kind of been breastfeeding at almost the age of two, my daughter, right? And here I was with full hard breasts, you know, kind of drying out because it was time anyway. Who did I think I was as a mom jaunting off to Costa Rica and dreaming big, you know, and abandoning my family, right? These are thoughts that we roll around like gritty marbles in our minds of like, who do we think we are? And that we have to sacrifice all dreams, all desires, all goals, right, in order to be a good whatever, fill in the blank. And all of these roles, in my mind, involve caretaking, sacrifice, and not being too selfish, and putting other people first, and family first, and all with good intentions, but done oftentimes at the sacrifice of ourselves. And definitely I had been sacrificing me. So that moment in time on that cliff changed me. That's why I carry these two pictures around to remind myself. Every once in a while, I run by them, which is interesting. The universe kind of drops them in my lap, you know, like you're taking a file out and then, boop, there they are, dropped in my lap. At just the right moment of time of, remember, Christy, your dreams are worth it. Your desires are worth it, right? But that moment changed me. I could still be, in my mind, as I was doing this meditation, I could still be a good mom, a good wife, and live my dreams. And in fact, it may require asking for what I needed. It may require forging through some fears. It might require setting down some boundaries and saying to society standards, hey, enough. This is my life. I'm the owner. I'm the driver of my life. And I get to chart my own path. I get to chart my own course. It might not fit into your box of what is good or right, but I'm not going to be looking over my shoulder of who's judging and who's trying to hold me back or make themselves feel good, you know, by holding my dreams and desires back so that I don't dream too big and like, you know, cause envy, right? I used this moment in time on this particular morning on the coast of Costa Rica to inspire me to do more hard things, to make more hard choices, and always choosing my joy in the end. In fact, my favorite tattoo on me is a windy path to enlightenment, and it all points to joy in the end. I have the word joy on my wrist as my tattoo because I always want to remember that I'm in the end, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what hardships I'm going through or what path I'm charting, that joy is the ultimate goal in the end. So I want to go through like a list of places I have looked to understand what my desires are that have worked and not worked. And so this is the place of time in this life class. Take out your journal. And hopefully you were thinking of what were some of your own transformational times. And I really want you to take a moment after today's life class and make a list of what are some transformational pivotal moments where there was just this download of information of, aha, here's something, or where your body came online. You know what I mean? The buzziness in your body, the excitement. Those are super important moments to be able to navigate and list and remember, because we're really good in our bodies of remembering the hard times and the no's and the doors closing. But we're not very good at remembering the happy times. We encode negative times in nanoseconds. Happy times take longer. So I want you to, after today, take one of your transformational times and, like I just did, write about it in detail. Where was I? What was I doing? Who was I with? What was I seeing? What was I feeling? What was I tasting, right? And really take a moment to write those in detail so that you have them embedded in your mind as transformational moments. Let's honor and celebrate them by recognizing them, listing them, and detailing them, right? So what works, what doesn't work, places I go to cultivate and navigate, what are my passions, what are my desires? The first place that I go to navigate what are my passions, what are my desires, is a place that psychotherapists seldom go because we're all about talk therapy in our mind, you know, words. But the place I go to the most, and that I want you to go to, is my body. I go to my body. And my body knows. And I can tell if something's a turn on, a passionate or a desire. If I have that beautiful feeling in my heart center, flutters in my gut, and I feel alive and invigorated. When those moments are happening, those are desires. And sometimes our body can fool us because we'll feel in our body a sense of envy or jealousy. That's a great feeling to have, actually, envy, jealousy, seeing somebody doing something that you want. And a lot of times we turn that into bitterness. But I think we can really work with our bodies and turn that into betterness. That's my word, betterness, by recognizing that jealousy, envy can be turned into desire. What is that person doing or experiencing that I want? What about their experience of driving that particular car, let's say, is something that I want? I want the freedom of being able to have a car like that so that I can feel, you know, alive and good as I drive. And then recognizing you may not want that exact car, but maybe a green version of it or a different model. But so you want the feeling of what you can see that person feeling as they're driving it. And so jealousy and envy can be great compasses. Our body's online. It's telling us something is happening. But also that turn on, that buzziness that we feel in our body is the first place I go to understand what do I desire. If it doesn't turn me on, chances are it's not something that's ever going to turn me on, right? A place that we often go to, and we'll talk about the good and the bad of this, is the past. Many of us go to the past to decide what is it that I'm passionate about or I desire. For example, you know, when I was little and I felt the flow, I loved when I was like writing or reading, right? Those are desires. Those are passions, right? But a lot of times we can go to the past and it's not a great place to cultivate or navigate our desires because we can get very nostalgic. I don't know if you've ever heard people say the phrase of like, oh, I wish we could just go back to like the 50s when life was really simple and pure and you could walk down, you know, you could walk down the street and wave at your neighbors and everybody was outside on their front porch, right? But the problem with the past is it's filled with falsehoods and it's filled with roles that weren't really working. And it was perceived maybe in our mind's eye a good life. But there's also like women were holding silver coffee pots and putting out men's shoes as they came through the door. And it's filled with like a lot of repression and a lot of like falling into society's like cookie cutter, right? And it was really the past is the opposite of inclusion of anything that's different or didn't fit into that cookie cutter lifestyle. So we can go back to the past and become very nostalgic about it and what if, but it's generally speaking, not a great place to cultivate our desires. Another place that has positives and negatives around it is social media, television ads, things like that. We see what people are experiencing as success, but we see a really falsehood or like a cardboard facade, you know, that's like blocking out the reality of what's happening for that person or that situation. So we can get on social media and see like our Facebook best of everybody, but we don't see the reality. And so there can be a lot of like jealousy and envy and like feeling dimmed because it's like, boy, they're really living a good life and I'm not. And so it's often not the best place to go and cultivate. Also another place is going to what your family of origin says or believes, you know, and not really challenging where that belief comes from. Things like, I've talked about in the past things like what is hard work, the value of that, and what about rest and play, right? And so challenging our beliefs about things that our family of origin has said is often not a place that we can go to find our desires or our passions. A lot of times, too, we can get into with our peers, friends, and colleagues a compare and contrast mode where it's like, I'm not doing nearly as much as my colleague is doing. I must be failing, right? And that's often not a great place to go to. So where we need to go for our desires when that's happening is who out there is doing something you aspire to do? Can they inspire you? What about what they're doing do you want? You know, what about what they're doing can you take a piece from? I always talk about like stealing from the best. When I was teaching at a university, it was, you know, taking from the best of the best and kind of presenting them to my students, not as my own, not saying these are my ideas, but really accolading the content of who are my mentors, who are the people that are doing like really good therapy out there, right? And I've always done that as a therapist, like really taking from the best, like Salvador Mnuchin and all these people that I really like looked up to is in terms of like their style and taking from them and aspiring to be like just even slightly one step towards what they're doing. And we have mentors in our life, right? Role models. And it's also important to know that these role models are often human, you know, and they have flaws too. But I think that's the beauty of it, is expecting humans to be anything less than humans is like a course in craziness, right? And so seeing the aspects of what our role models are doing and taking the pieces from them that we want. And just checking into your inner compass. Does something bring you joy? Does something bring you excitement? Does the idea of something bring you happiness? So these are really ways, and the meditation of like taking yourself through the doorways, through the channels of like, what are the closed opportunities? When those doors click open in your mind's eye, like they did for me, when those doors click open, what do you see? What's out there? Some of my doors, when they clicked open that day on the coast of Costa Rica, were doors of watching me gather women in play and joy. That's a big passion of mine. Gathering women in sisterhood and connection is a super big passion of mine. It's really important to me to do that, whether it's gathering women virtually in my women's talking circles or getting back to doing retreats with women and travel. It's super important to me. And if I'm not living my passion, I'm not fully aligned. I'm not fully alive, right? If I'm not living my desires. So I hope that you got something out of this program. I hope that you got some ideas of like where to sit and cultivate your passions and your desires. Desires and passion cultivation and inner compass work really does take space. So if you're a woman who is feeling overwhelmed and over busy right now, slow down some time to like listen to your inner child, your inner knowing, your compass of what turns you on and what lights you up. Make a list of those things and take a look at where are the times in the last year I felt really turned on? Where are the times in the last year that there was joy just coursing through my body? Those are pretty good indicators of exactly where you need to be and what you need to be doing. I thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you got something great out of this. Please find me at www.hotpinkyou.com and join me in a consultation. I would love to drop in with you and see how I can best support you. Take care.